Good evening. Coming to you from the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Prison Pipeline. I'm Doug McVeigh. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime, and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. We seek to promote awareness and activism in order to foster a safe, healthy, and just society. Many people experience trauma in their lives, trauma that can have a lasting impact. Law enforcement officers and emergency services personnel experience trauma on a regular basis. We expect police and EMTs to meet a standard of physical fitness and health in order to do their jobs efficiently, but we pay little attention to their mental health. If there's an incident, then an agency will have an officer meet with a counselor or psychologist. Yet unless we're forced to do so because of some tragedy, we just don't seem to care. Our law enforcement and emergency services personnel do very difficult jobs. If we want them to do better, then we need to do better by them. In the state of Oregon, there is an effort to do that. State Senator Lou Frederick, a Portland area Democrat, has introduced legislation in this session to require that law enforcement personnel visit with a psychologist or other mental health professional every 2 years. It's just a visit. It's not for cause. It's not a punishment. It's just a visit. Senate Bill 1531 is currently in the State Senate Judiciary Committee. They held a hearing on that bill on February 6th. Here's Senator Frederick describing the bill. He's followed by Senator James Manning, Jr., who represents Senate District 7.
I'm Senator Lou Frederick from District Oregon State Senate District 22. That's North and Northeast Portland. This bill, Senate Bill 1531, is really a simple bill. It connects to much larger issues, however. It's a step, a small step, but a significant step in the right direction, I believe. It's also relatively easy to explain. I believe the state of Oregon should have every law enforcement officer in the state visit and simply talk with a mental health professional at least once every 2 years. This is not to be an evaluation or a fit for service discussion, simply a talk. It will not be recorded or parked or reported out. This is a check-in. Why? Well, first of all, the stress on law enforcement is obvious to everyone. Beyond the lack of enough officers for our ever-increasing population in Oregon, the simple truth is that they often see people on their worst day. They see some of the most horrific episodes in our society. They witness traumas every day that would bring tears to the eyes of everyone here. And they are trained to approach these events with an objective, dispassionate eye and heart. But despite that objectivity, that distance, they are human, thank God. They are affected by those incidents. They find ways to cope. Those who are self-aware enough find support systems to help them work through those experiences. Police agencies across the state and across the country try to provide supervisors and others who can identify and intervene when necessary. But they are human as well. They miss signals. They are not trained to pick out the right times to be there. They often may not know. And importantly, they are not mind readers. I'm not asking for mind readers here or perfection. I suggest a simple, potentially preventative action that ensures that everyone in law enforcement talk with someone once every 2 years. I think it would help bring down the level of anxiety triggers often associated with trauma. Perhaps it would help officers identify where their concerns might be on the job or elsewhere. That would include anxiety related to family and other experiences. A friend, a retired officer, discovered that a certain color blue made him anxious. Whenever he saw that color, his adrenaline level went up and a fear response was triggered, whether the situation warranted it or not. It took him a while. He was self-aware enough to talk with someone. He traced that to the color of a T-shirt of a little boy who died in his arms in a car accident. Right now, as I understand it, after talking to several police groups, identifying a stress response can mean both a cultural response by colleagues within the law enforcement community, shunning or worrying about support, and a real threat to a career. We do not, right now, have the resources we need to address those issues when they are found. But I believe this bill creates an awareness of the issues. Let me get to the other issues that this bill provides a window to. We do not have a uniform standard of psychological screening for law enforcement in Oregon. Let me make that clear again. We do not have a uniform standard of psychological screening for law enforcement in Oregon. This was also a surprise to me. But some agencies do not screen applicants for their psychological fitness to protect and serve. That is a concern. Perhaps bringing this bill forward also spreads light on the mental health entry point for our police officers. As I understand it, we do not have a uniform set of requirements that once on the force, officers have to maintain physical health and conditioning. That too surprised me. There are exceptions when it comes to certain specialty teams or departments. I believe this bill also speaks simply to the issue of stigma regarding mental health. Many of you know that because of several people in my family, I am particularly sensitive to the stigma associated with mental health issues. I believe that we have not given this issue serious thought and have relied on an outdated approach that traps us in a punitive pattern, costing us limited family opportunities, loss of talent, and lots of money spent on prison cells instead of effective treatment. Under Senate Bill 1531, requiring all law enforcement to spend at least 45 minutes to 1 hour every 2 years with a mental health professional, no one's left out that way. No one is stigmatized for somehow being unbalanced and needing help. No report is issued except a note that a chat took place. Everyone does it. We already have a psychological visit following an excessive use of force incident, so there's already a link between both the requirement and a psychological visit. But the bill is only an attempt to bring a small step to the support for police and by immediate proxy to our communities. The thought process goes like this. If police know that we are concerned about them, if we know that they're getting help when needed, at least a tiny bit of support, we all feel a little better about encounters in difficult times, often with high anxiety on all sides. Now, will this cost money? Yes. But I believe several paths indicate that it may not cost additional money. I also think a case can be made that it would save money, avoiding the small number but increasingly costly lawsuits and settlements associated with anxiety-triggered incidents and other traumas in departments, cities, and county bureaus. I'll just mention last summer's emergency room incident in Utah as an example of something triggering an out-of-place response and a lawsuit that will likely cost a lot of money. One source for paying for this could be already in place in those employee assistance programs that are around. It means that there are already mental health professionals associated with various bureaus and benefit contracts. Another source, I've been told, involves officer wellness programs and the grants available at the national and state levels. I understand we may already have some programs in place that would help smaller groups across access mental health professionals once every 2 years. Now, a single meeting will not solve any stress-related issue. It could allow a professional to help the officer navigate to more intense therapy if needed. It only provides a non-threatening, non-stigmatizing, easily accessible opening for a conversation. And let me end by repeating the simple nature of this bill, as I see it. The simple idea is trust. I hope this is seen as an example of trust that we as a state want to see the people who protect and serve our community safe and healthy, especially mentally healthy. And it may generate a renewed trust in the general public that we are taking care of our professionals in a way that to bring down the anxiety of everyone in the state when we struggle with difficult situations. This will not solve all of our problems. I hope that it will take a step towards greater confidence on all sides. I hope you'll consider Senate Bill 1531. Obviously, I hope you'll pass it during the 2018 session. You will now hear from several people supporting the bill and probably likely some disagreeing with the bill. That's fine. Know this. While the default for some in our culture is to frame everything as an adversarial relationship, that is not my approach. While some reach for perfection in every legislative encounter, I'm more willing to work with people to create a climate of trust and support. This should be an opening to understand and act on the mental health for some of the most critical public employees we have. Thank you.
My name is James Ivory Manning, Jr. I am the senator from District 7, which is Northwest Eugene, up to Junction City and all that marvelous farming agricultural community in between. I'm here today in support of SB 1531. Before I begin, I'd like to just share a few of my personal experiences. I am a former Missouri State Penitentiary Corrections Officer. I worked at a level 5 maximum security prison. I've seen things and while I was working there, that most people can only imagine and you see in movies. I saw two inmates, actually one inmate, rip another one and his guts spill out on the floor. I saw several incidents of that. When I got my dream job as a police officer, one of the things I wanted to do is to help people. That was my sole mission. And I remember a couple of incidents that happened, a couple of murders that I revisit today in my sleep. One was an older gentleman, and they were around with some family members, and one of the gentlemen that was a former, was married to his granddaughter, but now they were divorced, shot him. I was one of the first officers on the scene. I remember going through the door, and this elderly gentleman laying on the floor holding the leg of the sofa that was closest to him. And I remember I could still hear the sounds. And I looked, and there was a hole in his chest. And there was nothing I can do about it. But I still remember hearing him. There was another incident when I was on the police department. You got a call, domestic violence. It's always a big thing. Most officers find themselves really engaged and hurt often in domestic violence because sometimes one of the other spouses may figure that you're hurting my spouse, and next thing you know, there's a pan going upside the head of the officer or whatever. A lot of things can go wrong. This particular one was lasting over years. At one point, the husband attempted to burn a house down with all of the family members on the inside. I tried to get her to press charges against him, but she refused. We got several other calls. One time I got a call, and as I approached the scene, arrived on scene, I saw a woman laying in the street and a guy standing over her with a shotgun. He ignored my commands to drop the rifle or the gun, and he just proceeded to walk away into the house. My first instinct was to provide some help to the victim. By that time, other units had came on scene and they had already secured the house and eventually apprehended the perpetrator. Not long after that, about a month, the same people, the husband shot her 9 times at a bar. 9 times, and she didn't make it. I wonder all the time, what else could I have done differently that may have helped or saved her life? I still see her face. Like I see the face of the elderly gentleman with a bullet hole in his chest. Nobody offered me any assistance, said, "Do you want to talk about this?" And those ghosts still are with me today. Police officers come in contact with maybe 10%, mostly 10% of the population. And of that 10%, most of them are under very strenuous conditions and some of the most violent conditions. We spend a lot of money to recruit and hire our officers. Senate Bill 1531 is not designed to put officers in a bad place or to draw them out. It is designed to offer a little help, someplace where they can go and they can have a conversation if they need to. Not all officers would need this, but it's always good to check in. I spent 24 years in the United States Army. It was mandatory that we do psychological evaluations. As a drill sergeant, I went through one of the toughest evaluations that you can ever have. And then we deal around with different weapons. Now remember this, when you go to the range, when police officers go to the range, you're going there to learn how to shoot. And in the military, we are taught to shoot center mass. There is no shooting to wing or to incapacitate a person. It's none of that. And no those split-second decisions that you have to make, they went on in my mind. Even though during my time, I never shot anybody, thank God. But it was always there, that possibility. What would I do? Not everybody is able or capable or nor should be a police officer. But for the ones that we have invested so much in our community, we need to make sure that they are given the appropriate time and the support that they need. I was a member, and I'll wrap this up. I was a member of the Eugene Police Commission for 6 years. I talked with the former chief and with the officers, Police Officers Association. I said to them at a table that we were having, I said that officers need to be able to go, if they had a bad day or experienced something bad in life, maybe a death, maybe they lost something of very value to you, they need to have some place where they can go and talk to someone without fear of any kind of repercussion. They did that in Eugene, and they said it's working very well. All I'm saying is that we need to make sure that we are protecting our investments, and it's not everybody's designed to be a police officer, nor should be. But the ones that we have out here, we need to make sure that they're comfortable and make sure that they're also supported. Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, I thank you so much for allowing me to talk and take this time, and for the members of the committee, thank you so much. This is a good bill, and I'm hoping, I sincerely hope that you will go ahead and move this bill forward. Thank you.
You just heard Senator Lou Frederick and Senator James Manning Jr. testifying before the Oregon Senate Judiciary Committee on Senate Bill 1531, a measure that would require police officers to have a meeting with a mental health professional or a counselor at least once every 2 years. You're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Radio. Make sure to check out our Kickstarter campaign. Our first ever Kickstarter campaign runs through March 9th. Our goal is to build a city of media makers. KBOO has been teaching radio since we started in 1968. 50 years. Now we want to build a city of media makers. KBOO provides a platform for communities who have been shut out. We give people a chance to learn to produce, engineer, host, write, interview, and create the media that matters to them. When you support KBOO, you support all the people making it happen. You support a strong infrastructure for the next generation of media makers. Now more than ever, we need independent media. Your support is vital. Go to kboo.fm/kickstarter2018 or just go to the KBOO website, kboo.fm, and click on the button to find out more about our Kickstarter campaign to build a city of media makers. Now back to the show. You're listening to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. On this show, we're talking about police work and PTSD and discussing Senate Bill 1531 in the Oregon legislature. A bill to require law enforcement personnel to meet with a mental health professional at least once every 2 years. Cumulative PTSD and PTSD are serious issues with all emergency services personnel. It's not just police, it's also fire services and emergency medical teams. According to research published in the International Journal of Emergency Mental Health, more than half of U.S. adults are exposed to a severe stressor at some point during the course of their life. This number is much higher for occupational groups such as police officers and firefighters. Patterson in 2001 reported that police officers experience, on average, over 3 traumatic events for every 6 months of service. Police-specific traumatic events may include violent events such as armed conflict and more sad and depressing of incidents such as abusive violence, providing assistance to victims of severe traffic accidents, and handling dead bodies. How to deal with this? That's the big question. Let's hear from some of the opponents of Senate Bill 1531 to get their perspective. On February 8th, the State Senate Judiciary Committee had another hearing. First up is Michael Savaggio with the Oregon Coalition of Police and Sheriffs, and second is Scott Winkles, the League of Oregon Cities. They're followed by Senator Lou Frederick.
For the record, my name is Michael Salvaggio, and I'm here today representing the Oregon Coalition of Police and Sheriffs. We represent line officers and sheriff's deputies around the state of Oregon. I'm here today to express our opposition to Senate Bill 1531, but I also want to say that I have met with Senator Frederick a couple of times on this issue. And for the record, our organization recognizes this is coming from a place of concern about the wellness of our officers, and we do appreciate the goals that he's getting at. We just are not we're not in agreement at this point on how to get there. So I don't want anyone to think that this is somehow indicative of a split between our elected officials and our law enforcement community. I think there's a lot of overlap here in terms of what we're trying to get at and what the senator and the sponsors of this legislation are trying to get at, and that is the wellness of our public servants. And that's a goal that we can firmly get behind. I was going to talk extensively about the type of employee assistance programs and peer-to-peer counseling that is already being done in many areas around the state, but I think on Tuesday, Chief Ferraris actually covered that very well, so I'll refer back to his testimony and save us all a few minutes. But briefly, we do like the idea that that there could be additional resources for officers that feel that they need resources, and resources for any public employee. We don't believe that there is a need to continue a stigma around mental health services, but we feel that targeting it specifically towards one group of public employees may have that effect. So I've seen some ideas put on the table in terms of improving the legislation. I think that we're actually getting to a point where perhaps some further discussion might find us signing on to some version. I saw that there were some amendments that had been kicked around. I'd like to see us go in the direction of expanding EAP programs. I'd like to see us go in the direction of expanding this to more than simply law enforcement officers. I think that, as we heard Tuesday, it would be well suited to a lot of first responders and corrections employees. And I'd like to clarify that anything that we're looking at, in our view, needs to be an independent, confidential session. We're not looking to this as some kind of a fitness exam that's going to go into somebody's record, because again, our goal here is to look at ways that we can improve and engage on officer wellness. When you have a process that is not confidential, that's not going to get, I think, to the point we're trying to get to in terms of a constructive wellness session. So bottom line here, I don't think that we're at a point where we can support the bill as it is right now, but I do have faith that there is enough overlap to the point where we're going to be able to look at some version of this that we can get behind.
Thank you. Scott.
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, for the record, Scott Winkles representing the League of Oregon Cities. I submitted some testimony on the fiscal impacts of the bill. We conservatively estimate that the bill would cost all law enforcement agencies, not just cities, system-wide, about $1.345 million a biennium. That's a conservative estimate. We derive that number by looking at claims data and the billed rate for psychologist services. Psychologists were the most common type of mental health professional that we found that people were moving towards. I would note that the psychologists and practitioners who specialize in caring for first responder mental health tend to charge at a higher rate. I believe the most popular one charges at $387 an hour. And point out that the way this bill is crafted, we would pay the full billed rate as opposed to the preferred provider in-network rate, as it's not really a health insurance claim. Additionally, some rural agencies would be impacted differently because of the availability of appropriate mental health care providers. So they would be. We would also add the federal per diem rate of about $98 for lodging, and I believe it's $58 for meals and incidental per incidents where that was necessary for an officer to travel to receive the care. We also have a couple questions in the bill, as we're not sure how we would resolve issues where an officer had simply didn't wish to or didn't want to attend a session. I don't know that that's covered in the bill, and I'm not sure we could make somebody go, but some clarity on that matter would be helpful moving forward. I also think that there are some impacts in the bill that would trigger interim bargaining in some cases, as there are, as this would be an employment requirement. So that is a possibility, not in all situations, but I suspect in some.
All right. Any questions for the panel? Gentlemen, thank you very much. Senator Frederick, I was not able to give you extra time last on Tuesday. Did you want to make any other statements? Sure.
And thank you for inviting me up. I'm Senator Lou Frederick, District 22 North and Northeast Portland. What has been really helpful is the number of conversations I've had with both law enforcement officers as well as psychologists. And I think we may have another route in terms of potentially paying for any sort of conversations and discussions. That's one thing we're working on right now. We have two amendments that have already been developed. We have another two that we may be working on as well to define mental health professionals, to deal with some of the confidentiality issues, as well as the cost of having folks do those situations. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to work together on that. I also want to thank the law enforcement folks, understanding that we really want to make sure that they are getting the support that they need, and they do not get that right now, in my view. But we are trying to get the support that they need on a number of levels. So I appreciate this, and you will be seeing a number of other things coming your way very shortly. Thank you.
That was Michael Salvaggio with the Oregon Coalition of Police and Sheriffs, Scott Winkles with the League of Oregon Cities, and Senator Lou Frederick speaking before the Senate Judiciary Committee of the Oregon Legislature on Senate Bill 1531. A measure to require police officers to meet with a mental health professional or counselor at least once every 2 years. And well, that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline. Find this and previous installments of the show on the web at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Prison Pipeline has a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/prisonpipeline. I've been Doug McVeigh. Good night.